athletic competition. It can easily be broken down into two parts: the minutes or hours it takes to complete the event, then weeks, months, and years of joy or heartbreak. Finally, the decades to analyze and debate it. From the press box to press row, Donald Ware will break it all down for you with an in-depth look at historically black college athletics, as well as the biggest news stories and newsmakers of the day. It's time to talk the talk with those who walk the walk. From the press box to press row, here's your host, Donald Ware.
Thank you for joining me on another edition of Box to Row. The conference championship games, the matchups are set. It's going to be Kansas City hosting Buffalo. It's going to be Washington at Philadelphia. We've got two really good, what should be really competitive, conference championship games. Got a lot of National Football League to talk about today here on the program. Ohio State wins the national championship against Notre Dame. I give Notre Dame a lot of credit for sticking in that game. It was, what, at one time 28-7, and Notre Dame kind of hung around, had an opportunity, and it took a bomb towards the end of the football game for the Buckeyes to pull that football game out. I thought that Notre Dame had a chance to win the national championship. Now, I get it. Ohio State, fully loaded, $20 million roster. If you want to look at it that way, well, you have to look at it that way. $20 million roster when you talk about the NIL money paid to all of these players. And I thought, when it was 28-7, I was like, wow. I mean, that's the difference between $20 million and whatever Notre Dame has. But my thought always was that, look, Notre Dame has a really, really good defense. And I thought, in particular, the secondary of Notre Dame was really, really good. And wouldn't you know it, with Notre Dame still hanging around, I think it was a third down, the bomb to Smith, one-on-one coverage. Didn't see that coming. Thought Ohio State may go a little conservative. Chip Kelly, the offensive coordinator for the Buckeyes, said, nah, we're going to go for this thing. And right on the money, and Smith making the catch, and that pretty much sealed the football game. But give Ohio State all the credit in the world. And look, I mean, hopefully Ryan Day's got a bit of the monkey off of his back. Like, all of the talk, and look, I'm not an Ohio State fan. I'm not a Notre Dame fan, quite frankly, to be honest with you. But all of the talk, and I can't speak to Buckeyes fans. Like, Buckeyes fans feel a certain kind of way about the fact that the Buckeyes have not beaten Michigan in 3 or 4 years. And it's fine. But you have a national championship. Like, let the Michigan thing go. And I understand part of it. And you can look back to the 2023 season and could understand, okay, Ohio State losing that game to Michigan. Michigan went undefeated, won the national championship. This year, not so much. Although I would say Michigan played some games, at least. I mean, look, Michigan beat Alabama in the bowl game after beating Ohio State in that rivalry game, right? So, like, Michigan, even though it wasn't the same Michigan team from 2023, like, it wasn't an awful Michigan team. Like, a win, I mean, and I realize Alabama may not have been the Alabama that we generally know, but it wasn't a terrible Alabama team. So, I give Notre Dame a lot of credit, but I give Ohio State a lot of credit as well. And hopefully, there'll be a little less noise from alums and supporters of Ohio State. Buckeyes, Buckeye Nation, your national champions, okay? Let's cut the man some slack a little bit now. Of course, we'll see what happens next year if Ohio State can beat Michigan, Ohio State's going to repeat as national champions. But give Ohio State credit, because it could have gone south after and look, when I think about this year's CFP, like, to me, there's only a handful of teams, in my opinion, that were true participants, should have been true participants. Now, of course, you mean, you know, everybody that made it, you know, made it, right? But, like, I look at, okay, I would say, you know, Oregon, Texas, Georgia, Penn State definitely should have been in. I mean, when I look at Notre Dame, like, Notre Dame is an independent. If you look at Notre Dame's schedule, right, like, it wasn't a great, it wasn't like it was a strong schedule. But again, college football is better when Notre Dame is good. So I think the committee's going to look at that. Notre Dame has its own TV deal. It's independent in football. Like, I think that matters. It has the history. Like, when you think about college football, like, I mean, isn't Notre Dame the first school team that you think about when you think about college football? So I think all of those things matter. Or Arizona State probably belonged. I mean, you know, really was right there with Texas, maybe per a bad call, right? So it's only, to me, if you got 12 teams, maybe 5 or 6 truly belonged. And look, Ohio State lost to Michigan, lost to Oregon early on. I get it, Big Ten, all of that. Like, in other words, in my estimation, if you're talking about this going back last year and we're talking about the CFP with 4 teams, Ohio State would not have made it. So, you know, Ohio State got in the playoff, got it done. Didn't even play in the Big Ten championship game and got it done. So congratulations to the Buckeyes. So in addition to National Football League talk here on the program, we may talk a little NBA. We may talk a little Jimmy Butler. We'll see how things progress here on the program. Also joining us today here on the program, Reggie Theus in his 4th season as the head men's basketball coach at Bethune-Cookman, as also the athletics director at Bethune-Cookman, former really good NBA player, couple of All-Star appearances by Reggie Theus, and a former actor. So Reggie Theus has his hands full as the AD, as the head men's basketball coach. He's going to join us today on the program to talk about the Wildcats program, which is off to the 4-1 start in the SWAC. Look, you can participate here on Box to Row. Hit us up via X at Box to Row, BOXTOROW, or on Facebook, BOX, the number 2, ROW. You can follow us while you're on Facebook. Facebook is, as I mentioned, BOX, the number 2, ROW. X, if you want to follow us there, BOXTOROW. Also on Instagram, BOXTOROW. Follow us while you're there as well. So, the HBCU National Players of the Week. First up, Elizabeth City State guard Xavier Tubbs Matthews. 2 wins for the Vikings last week. He averaged 26.5 points, 6.5 assists, 4 steals, shot 70% from the field for the Vikings. And then also Jordan Dorsey of North Carolina A&T averaged 19.5 points, 3 rebounds, shot 52% from the field. So, again, Xavier Tubbs Matthews and Jordan Dorsey, the HBCU National Players of the Week. And you can read more about both of these student athletes on our website, BoxToRow.com. Look, we've got these conference championship games, matchups, and I really believed that the Ravens were going to beat the Bills. And once again, self-inflicted, like I'm not going to take away credit from the Bills. Like, the Bills did what the Bills needed to do to win the football game. But I would say it was more of the missed opportunities by the Ravens. When you a couple of things you can look at. The interception by Jackson, by Lamar Jackson. I mean, that was, I don't even know where he was throwing the football. And then he fumbled the football. He just dropped it. I mean, it was cold, so he mentioned that he dropped the football. Okay, then you can look at the, it was two drop passes and a fumble by Mark Andrews, who's more reliable than anyone. Like, he's been Jackson's most reliable receiver. I think they came into the league together. Like, he's been super reliable. And he dropped a pass, fumbled a reception, and then dropped the two-point conversion that would have tied the football game. I mean, you know, that's one of those things where you've got a really good football player. I think by all accounts, a good person, right? Can do nothing wrong. Probably has dropped some balls over his career. Who hasn't? Like, everybody's dropped. Everybody makes mistakes. Like, we can't sit back and pretend like everybody, like, people don't make mistakes, right? But all in all, has been Jackson's most reliable receiver. Catches everything thrown to him. He's a true tight end, but more of a pass-catching tight end than a blocking tight end. And for that to happen to him, like, that's one of those things when something bad happens to a really good person, and the one thing that you're going to remember, unless they can erase it, unless they can atone for it, is that one bad thing, right? Like, that, you know, it. What can you say? Like, the man catches that ball 99 out of 100 times, and we've seen that happen over the course of his career. And it, that one time when the Ravens really needed it, he did not catch the football. Now, the Ravens had plenty of other opportunities during the course of the game, even with the mistakes. We don't know. He catches that ball. Okay, we know that the game is tied. But remember, there was still like more. It's like, I think it was less than a minute and 30, but it was more than a minute, maybe like a minute and 18, something like that, still left in the football game. So anything could have happened. The Bills could have still pulled it out, but obviously couldn't pull it out because Andrews didn't catch that football. And that's just one of the things that happened in that football game. So wanted to point that out, but going to later on in the program, going to preview the conference championship games. Up next here on Box to Row, we're going to be joined by Bethune-Cookman head men's basketball coach and athletics director, Reggie Theus.
Hey there, fellow travelers. It's me, the Hotel Wiz. Before you go anywhere, call me day or night for hotel rates too low to publish. I'll save you up to 75% on over 500,000 hotels across the globe. You see, I've already done the research, so you don't have to spend time online trying to find the best deal. That's up to 75% off. Just call me, the Hotel Wiz. It's a free call, and you get instant access to rates too low to publish with no cancellation fees.
Make a free call now and save up to 75% off your hotel rooms the next time you're going somewhere for business or pleasure. Call the Hotel Wiz now and get instant access to rates too low to publish. 800-811-3471. 800-811-3471. 800-811-3471. Call the Hotel Wiz right now for rates too low to publish at 800-811-3471.
On last week's From the Press Box to Press Row with Donald Ware.
Jeremy Reeves of the Washington Commanders. How special of a player is Jayden Daniels?
And he's got the whole thing. And, like, it's been really cool to see, because at his position, you don't see it a lot where guys just come in off the back and they're just automatically ready. that's like the little bro to me. So me and him, we give each other slack all the time. He keep me young, I should say. But,
Well, you are young. I mean, 28's not old.
In this business, that's old, brother. I ain't gonna lie to you.
From the Press Box to Press Row is one of the hottest sports talk shows in the country. Join Donald each week as he takes you on a journey through the world of HBCU sports and pro sports and interviews with top sports and entertainment figures. That's From the Press Box to Press Row each week on your favorite station.
You're listening to From the Press Box to Press Row.
From the Press Box to Press Row.
Box to
Box
Row.
To Box to Row.
Box to Row.
We're going to keep things moving here on Box to Row. We're joined by a gentleman, as a matter of fact, he's in his fourth season as the head men's basketball coach at Bethune-Cookman. Also his fourth season as the athletics director at Bethune-Cookman. But this is the thing, like, Bethune-Cookman is one aspect of his life. Like, he's a former NBA player, a really good one, I might add, during the 80s, most notably. And was on TV, was an actor, as a matter of fact. He's a jack of all trades. He's Reggie Theus. He joins us here on Box to Row. Happy New Year to you, Coach Theus. Welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks a lot. It's nice to be on. And it is Happy New Year, right?
It is, even though it's the latter part. Like, we haven't talked. Matter of fact, this is our first time talking. The debate is, when do you stop saying Happy New Year, right? Like, we're still in January, 20-plus days
yeah,
in.
Yeah.
But this is the first time you and I are talking.
Yeah, you know what, though? I think it's about a week. Not about a week, you know. Things get kind of old pretty quick in 25.
I got it.
You know, you got a lot going on already. The inauguration, you got fires in California. I mean, there's a lot happening already in 25.
Yeah, that's true. I guess that's just your nice way of saying I'm late on saying Happy New Year. But anyway, you know, you know what I mean? So I want to start here. I mean, you've got a lot on your plate, but I want to start here. Speak to the two-game winning streak, specifically after the bounce back from the loss against Southern.
Well, you know, I start our games off talking about defense, and I end our games talking about defense. And I think that, you know, I've been an offensive guy all my life, but I always, you know, to be a good offensive player, you got to know defense. And people don't know this, but, you know, I was drafted as a defensive player. So defense becomes a very big part of your mindset, because I go back to when I played in college. You know, we didn't average 110 points a game with no three-point line because we were that good offensively. We were that good offensively, but it was because of our defense is what allowed us to score that many points. A lot of people don't really understand that part. But I think that Trey Thomas has really played well in these last couple of games. Daniel Ruzan, Jesus, Reggie, they're all really bringing a part of their game. I think Seneca Willoughby, someone who's come off the bench to start for us at the point guard right now, has done a phenomenal job because, you know, he's the guy that goes from playing 7 minutes to 30 minutes. So 10 minutes to 30 minutes. And he's done a solid job. And we're just kind of trying to find another way to play. We'll get my leading score back here in the next few weeks, but probably not just before the conference tournament.
Wow.
So it's been interesting and trying to hold the fort together, trying to keep the guys focused on how to win games. And the biggest problem that I have, you know, in on this level and in any college scenario, is you're trying to teach guys how to win games, not just how to play well, but you have to. There's a difference between playing well and winning the game, and a lot of these guys don't understand the differences.
Well, you know, that said, I mean, your guys understood how to beat South Florida. You're playing up. That's a money game. You know, earlier in the preseason part of the season, speak to that. I mean, you didn't. You know, it wasn't one of those, well, from a score perspective, it wasn't one of those nip and tuck games. You won. I mean, you guys won that game. You won that game outright.
Yeah. It was decisive. You know, like I said, we have size. The difference when you play a high major is size. When you're talking about the SWAC, you talk about, you know, mid-major teams and high major teams, it's usually size. And I put our team together with size. Because you have to build your team to win outside your conference. And I think that for the most part, when you think about what wins games and how is the game being played today? Well, the game's being played today, there's a lot of switching defenses. There's a lot of switching in defense. And in order to really do that comfortably, you have to have size on the floor. So I think that that's been one of our biggest things. We've got good size, and teams try to sometimes they try to match up with our size, which is interesting. But then there's fight and desire. I think when you play these teams, you have to believe you can win. And I take those kind of games in 4-minute segments. And even though when we lose these games, I keep telling our guys, there's about 3 or 4 4-minute segments that I saw a really good basketball team that can win our conference. We have to build on those 4-minute segments. And when you build on those 4-minute segments, you keep your team's confidence up, because you can play really well against a South Florida or somebody like that and still lose the game. And we played really well against Nebraska and lost. We played really good against Virginia and West Virginia, and we lost those games. But we had several really good 4-minute segments that we can build on, and I can show film on. And there's reasons why you play well. There's reasons why you don't. Shot selection, attention to detail. I tell our guys all the time, winning is in the details. If you pay attention to the details, if you understand the scouting report, understand what we're trying to accomplish. And in the middle of our game the other night, I had to remind our guys, this is not about you. This is not about your numbers. We're 6 minutes to go in this game. We need to finish the game like this. This is what has to happen. If you're thinking something different than what I just said, then you're out of line. So I have to have conversations. I have to have real, real conversations with our guys, because, you know, this generation is very different. You know, this generation thinks it knows it all, and because they can dial it up, and they're a lot better than they're a lot better even before they start playing, because they can create their avatars and all this kind of crap. But, you know, the mentality of understanding how to win, the understanding that every 3-point shot is not a good shot, understanding that this is not equal opportunity offense. You have to earn the right to shoot the ball in certain positions, certain situations. And today's guys, they grow up thinking that they can just jack shots when they want, because that's the way they do it in the league.
That the voice of Reggie Theus, the head men's basketball coach at Bethune-Cookman, also athletics director. He joins us here on Box Row. That's interesting, because you're also the athletics director. Man, you sound like you may be trying to pull some scholarships or something, Coach Theus. You know what I mean? I mean, you know, but I mean, I'm joking.
No, I just have to, you know.
Go ahead.
No. But when I say those things, it's, I have a group of guys. I have a very difficult, this is one of the most difficult teams I've ever had to coach.
Okay.
And the conversations that we have, I've had to pull out all the stops. And there's been a couple of times that I had to tell them if they don't like it, call the athletic director. So I had to let them know that there's no place else for them to go, but right here.
Right.
You know. but when I say that, because I believe in our team. I believe in real talk. I believe in understanding. And I become very animated with these guys, because I'm also a player. You know, I also did this. So when I see something, I'm not guessing at what I'm looking at. I know what I'm looking at. So I have to sometimes break it down to just the bare bones and language that they actually understand, instead of trying to gloss over stuff and just make it sound all packaged and nice and pretty. You know, it's if you're going to win a championship, if your goal is to win a championship, there's certain things you have to do.
Yeah. No doubt about it. So how are you able to balance? Like, I always find that fascinating when you have a head coach of a sport, then you're also the athletics director, particularly if you're talking about football or basketball. How are you able to manage both of those?
You know, I've learned a lot in the last 3.5 years. I'm in my fourth year, so I've learned an enormous amount. I have a lot of respect for athletic directors around the country and the job that they have to do. I have to have a great staff, obviously. Scott Summer, George Bright, these guys hold me up on my senior staff, my athletic director's position. And then I have to have good staff on my basketball side too, because I flip-flop back and forth all day long. And I go from one meeting to a different meeting to a different meeting with a different mindset. And then I have to tell my guys, listen, you know, I'm not going to be there on time. So you have to start doing this, 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 and this. And I can't worry about it. So experienced staff is very important in this situation. And I get to be, the reality is I get to be the big idea guy. You know, I get to be the guy that that delegates and to really make the decisions. But the decisions come from a lot of hard work and a lot of information. And we've made a lot of changes here at Bethune-Cookman. I don't know if you've heard the stuff that we've done with our football program and building a on-campus synthetic field. I turned an old weight room into a locker room, and we're finishing up the showers in the bathroom in that locker room. We got a great donation to refurbish a building on the corner of ISB and Jesse that's going to be a laundry room, an equipment room, academic center, and also a lounge for the team. So in the process of doing all these other things, we're building a football facility, and I'm really proud of the fact that I can now call it a football facility, and it's continuously trying to raise money because we're a private HBCU, and being a private HBCU, we don't get a lot of state money, and we don't have those types of funding. So you know, a lot of what I have to do is to try to gather up people to understand the vision and really show them that what we are doing is, in large sense, when you think about HBCUs, we're so underfunded. It's almost shameful that, you know, there's probably three or four colleges in this general area and a really nice high school, and all of them have better facilities than Bethune-Cookman. It's not even close. So, you know, the problem with this whole scenario is it's going to take a couple of people that are outside of Daytona. You know, our alumni is not, we don't have wealthy, wealthy alumni. We have a couple of people, but not wealthy, wealthy alumni that, you know, that really has the ability to do big things. So we have to, you know, we have to just keep fighting and putting a little bit here and a little bit here. But we really do need to have someone outside of Daytona. And, you know, Charles Barkley gave me a large donation when I first got here, well, my second year here. And that started this whole project. So, you know, you have to be careful with me because I'll flip back from the 80s position to the coaching position. And, you know, our whole conversation will be about fundraising in here in a minute if you're not careful.
Yeah, no, it's fine. And look, Coach Theus, I'm up against the break. Reggie Theus, the head men's basketball coach at Bethune-Cookman. More of our conversation after this small pause for the cause.
You're listening to From the Press Box to Press Row.
Here with Stephen Curry, your progress from Davidson to now with Golden State.
Where I've come from in high school into a small D1 college at Davidson. And it's a great story, and I'm just having fun, you know, living my dream and riding the ride.
Main event! Jey Uso joining us here. Could there be a possible return to the bloodline?
For me?
Yes. At some point.
I'm gone, D. Hey, I threw the deuces up before. I'll do it again, man.
Come on, main event. That's family, man. I mean, I'm not talking about now. I get it. But down the line, like, come on.
Hey, D, you see how they be treating me, man? Come on, man. That's something. It be your own family sometimes be doing you wrong, Lou. I gotta go, man. Hey, I'm doing all right by myself.
She's Simone Biles.
Actually really fun, like, to be honest, had a lot of fun. We were like, oh, of course, like, we're in the best shape of our life. We're feeling confident about our body, and we hope that other young girls and women, like, feel that being strong is still beautiful.
The one and only Michael Strahan, and cannot have you on without talking about Texas Southern. Cannot. So how did you ultimately end up at Texas Southern?
Yeah, from Houston, grew up in Germany. When I was a senior in high school, my dad said, I'm going to send you to stay with your uncle in Houston and get a football scholarship. So I went to Houston. I played at Westbury High School for 1 year. Texas Southern was probably the only school that saw me play, being right there in Houston and being a local boy. And Coach Walter Highsmith, I went over to see him, and he offered me a scholarship. It was perfect for me, man, to go to the HBCU, to go to Texas Southern. The size of the school, the education they gave me, not just in the classroom, but about life. I would have been swallowed up at another school. I wouldn't have felt as if I really could have made a difference or had a real purpose of being there. But at Texas Southern, I always felt like I could make a difference and I had a purpose.
Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Skylar Diggins of the WNBA. Thank you for having me. I'm excited. You know, just been able to work a lot on my body and my shape, and a lot of things that I feel like I needed to work on in the off season, was able to get that done, and you know, it's showing.
Snoop Dogg is on the mic. Pay attention.
I appreciate the love that I get, and I appreciate the sport of hip-hop, and it's given me back that same love in return, you know, for the amount of years that I've been doing it. I've always went into it with the same, you know, spirit of I make music for the people. I make it go for them, and I always make them a part of it, and I never separated myself and tried to be a star. I've always wanted to be one of the people that you can look to as somebody that was, you know, like your uncle because of the way that I treat people, and I feel like my career is representative of that. That's why the longevity is there, that's why the love is there, and that's why I maintain the status of, you know, being relevant for so many years.
I'm talking about none other than Serena Williams.
That was definitely one of the better matches I've ever played. I've had it just like that. You know, I was really focused, just really, you know, excited.
Demetrius Flannery, a.k.a. Lil Meech.
50 Cent in Atlanta told me that he was going to move me from my hometown, Miami, to L.A., put me in acting classes, and I had to go 5 days a week, 2 times a day. Only had about a year and a half, but once I started, I didn't want to stop, you know, so once in a lifetime opportunity, I didn't want to watch somebody else, you know, get the role of playing my father and me having to watch him on TV. Opportunity passed me by, so I just buckled down and focused, man. Put everything to the side and made sure that my number one thing that I wanted to do was focus on being the best possible actor I can be for the show. And that's how it happened, man.
That is the voice of Kevin Durant.
Oh, yeah, well, I'm just, you know, trying to get better every single day. We've been through a lot as a team, and I enjoy playing with a great group of guys. So, you know, I'm just trying to enjoy every moment of it.
That is the voice of Common. You went to Florida A&M.
Oh, FAMU days were some of the best days of my life. I mean, I had so much fun there. It was like invigorating. It was an introduction to a new aspect of culture in the world. I mean, the Southern girls was just incredible. you know, the food was great. The black college experience, you can't beat that.
Kyrie Irving.
Playing at Duke for Coach K. What was that like and how that prepared you for the league now?
Playing 11 games, you know, a lot of people think that's not a, you know, big package for you to become a better player, but for me it was. Playing for Coach K, he gave me the keys to the car, and I was driving it in first 8 games, and, you know, being a part of something special like that and having a brotherhood built at an institution such as that one is an experience that you never forget.
Ice Cube has been our guest.
Hey man, thanks for letting me talk a little music, movies, and sports. Hey, my favorite three topics.
Hey y'all, it is the EST of WWE, the strongest, the fastest, the roughest, the toughest, the quickest, the greatest, the best on Box to Row. Tune in if you want to catch the best BEST interview ever.
From the Press Box to Press Row is the sports talk show that is the voice and the talk of HBCU sports, with a flair for pro sports talk and entertainment. Check the show out online at BoxToRow.com.
That's Box to Row, real, relevant radio. We're back and we're talking with Bethune-Cookman Hickman's basketball coach and athletics director, Reggie Theus, here on the program. And you know, talking with Lynn Thompson over the years. I mean, I don't think they're out, you know, outside of at the Division I level.
And
I don't
what a
think,
great, what a great job he did.
Yeah. Yeah.
And what a great job Lynn Thompson did here.
Yep.
You know, he was here 30 years, you know, and, you know, I marvel at the sustainability because, you know, there's a lot of holes, and for him to be able to make it work for that long, it's pretty remarkable, you know. And I'm just trying to take what my vision is and take it even further. The best part for me in this job is, and my coaches all agree, I'm not political. I came here to do a job. I came here to do one job, and that is to build the athletic department. I'm not looking for another job. I don't need another basketball job. And so I'm here to finish what I started. So I don't get caught up in the politics, or maybe I can't do this because it's going to hurt this person's feelings, or this person's not going to help me get my next job or whatever. I'm not in that place in my life. So it's a great time to be here and to really make change. And I feel really blessed for the opportunity to be the basketball coach and also the athletic director, where I can really affect change in the university.
No doubt about it. I don't think on the Division I level of HBCUs, I don't think there's a school that does more with less than does Bethune-Cookman, you know, and I've said that for many, 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 many years. You know, Bethune-Cookman does more, and you look at the beginnings of Bethune-Cookman, Miss Mary McLeod Bethune, and how it began, and how, you know, the relationship she had with the, you know, the Roosevelts, and so on and so forth, and how she was able to get the funding. It is a tremendous story there in Daytona Beach. A couple of more thoughts, and I appreciate you sharing that.
Been there 120 years now.
Yeah. 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 No, it's
been there 120 years now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's a beautiful story. Look, Coach, I got to take you back to your day. Like when you're recruiting and you're going into kids' homes, so to speak, do the parents, like, I know the parents remember you when you played. Well, maybe not as much because they're, you know, but maybe the grandparents, right? Like, remember you when you played. You were a pretty good player when you played in the association, Coach Theus. What do you remember most about those days?
You just in a very nice way called me old, man. You know, that's all that was.
Well, look, I'm old enough to remember when you played. You know.
Yeah. Well, you know, it doesn't take long for them to figure it out, and that's the good part.
Right.
I actually like them knowing that I played, maybe not knowing my career, but when they look at the history of my career, and they see that when I retired, I was number 22 all time in scoring and number 11 all time in assists. You know, people just, and then that the conversation changes because now they know some of the street credit comes up, you know, and then there's the group of the time and the age group that saw me doing Hang Time, the TV show. And then there's a group that remember me from doing TNT and ESPN and all those things when I was doing commentating, because I was Kenny and Charles before Kenny and Charles with Ernie Johnson.
Right.
So I've had the pleasure of spanning about three or four generations of basketball, you know, people, and I've had it and been able to touch each generation different ways. It's really nice. You know, when you run into somebody who really understands where I've been and what I've been through. And the one thing that comes out of those home visits is that for me, when parents look at me, they see someone that they would love for their child to aspire to be. And that helps. That helps on every level, because whether you're at Bethune-Cookman or the University of Louisville, it's really about your mentorship. It's really about the ability to get players better and to really help. And I would say we're in the business of growing successful people. And that's what this really is about. And we have to think in those terms, because in today's world, you don't have to go to the University of Louisville to make it to the NBA. You don't have to make money playing this game. You don't have to go to, you know, a team that's on TV every Sunday, you know, because everybody recruits from the internet, and every place has their own streaming. So you get a chance to be seen. It's really about three things when you're recruiting. It's about the coach, it's about the style of play, and your minutes. Those are the things that are most important. And if you can get that from Bethune-Cookman, don't get me wrong, we get grimy around here, and it's not easy. We don't have all the bells and whistles that a lot of places have. But when you're focused on being successful, then those bells and whistles are not what's most important. And the ones that think that way, sometimes they fall by the wayside because their heart's not really in the right place.
Yeah. No, very well said. Yeah, because to your point, like I remember Hang Time quite well. I'm 50, so I was there in the 80s, right? You know, I remember your time on TNT. Yeah. I'm gonna tell you what. That team, you were a veteran on that New Jersey Nets team that was getting ready to, like, sure, be really, really good. Of course, you know, you had the unfortunate death of Drazen Petrovic, but Derek Coleman was like right. and then going back to your Sacramento days, Chicago was no good before you came along. Like, man, you had a really, really nice NBA career.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, I scored. I mean, listen, you know, I scored over 19,000 points in the NBA. So that puts me in a category that not many guys, you know, reached. I'm one of, you know, what is it, five players that when I retired that ever scored over 19,000 points and over 6,000 assists. There's only been two players like me. And I don't put myself in Magic Johnson's category, but there's only been me and Magic Johnson that are legitimate 6'7", 6'9" point guards. So there's not been any more that legitimately played the position. I'm not saying now outside of LeBron. Now that's why I have so much respect for LeBron. So when LeBron went from being a small forward to a point guard, he gained a tremendous amount of respect from me on that one, because I know to play that position what it takes. And plus, he's also LeBron James. So he has to do some extraordinary things on top of taking care of his team. So there's only been a couple of us that our size to be able to do the things we've done in this position. So, you know, and I play the two guard just as effectively as the point guard. So I was a combo guard before the word combo guard, you know, which made me laugh. It's like they just call this Euro step. Well, we've been Euro stepping since the 70s, right. You know, all of a sudden they give it a fancy name and they think they invented some, you know, excuse my words. Sorry.
All right. It's all good. Yeah. No problem. Two last thoughts. You know, I'm going to tell you one thing I didn't know doing some research. I did not know you play. I was born, but it was probably a little bit before my time. I was born. I didn't know you played for Jerry Tarkanian.
Hey, man,
at
you're
UNLV.
50 years old. You're 50 years old. It ain't like you're in your 30s now. Stop.
True.
You know,
but I'm saying.
You got a lot of time behind you also.
I do. But I mean the UNLV piece. Like, I didn't know that. I didn't know you played for Jerry Tarkanian at UNLV.
Oh yeah, yeah. Oh yeah, I was one of Coach Tarkanian's, prized recruits out of Los Angeles. He had never been able to out recruit UCLA in places like that, and I was one of those guys that ended up at UNLV, and just a phenomenal experience. We went to the Final Four. I've had a great opportunity in my life. You know, I went to the Final Four twice. Once as a player. And once as a coach with Coach Pitino. I played for a Hall of Fame coach, and I worked for a Hall of Fame coach. So I've had a chance to see it and do it all. And that's why I feel so blessed to be able to give my kids all I have. You know, and like your own personal kids, they don't really know what they have until they really sit back and think about it. You know, but I tell them all the time that, the wisdom and the information that you're getting is coming from the right place. And if you allow me, I'll make you a better basketball player and a better person.
Yeah. Last thought. Let's jump back. Let me jump back to your coaches. So we had your AD hat on. We had the NBA hat on. Now let's jump back to the coaches hat. Your thoughts. You got a nice road trip coming up. You know, first or second place on the line on Saturday against Jackson State. Your thoughts on the Tigers?
You know, I love playing against Mo. You know, Mo is a heck of a coach. You know, I haven't had a chance to get him on the golf course yet so I can take some money from him. But I'm looking forward to that day. I did get his AD, though. I did get that.
Okay.
I get to play with the coach and I get to play with the AD. Right. So it's good. It's good either way. But playing against Jackson State, they've done such a phenomenal job at Jackson State to from the football program to all the things that they've done. And coach, I mean, when you think about Mo and his style and what he's brought to the table, the one thing about he and I is I can read him because he's an NBA guy. And I'm sure he can read me because I'm an NBA guy. So we kind of know how we each think. It's super competitive, but there's a lot of love there too. Because, you know, we're part of a very close family in our NBA family. And Mo and I talk quite a bit outside of our teams about how we can better the HBCU's programs, how we can better our programs and really utilize, you know, our gifts to give to our players. So to play against those guys, interesting enough, here's the fact. We're playing against the number one three-point shooting team in our conference. We are the number one defensive three-point team in our conference. Our defensive percentage is number one. Their offensive percentage is number one. So it's going to be an interesting game in that respect. The biggest advantage they have is we're playing at their place. And that's that home court advantage in this conference is big.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt about it. Your team only giving up 31% from three-point range. Reggie Theus, so former NBA player, former actor, now current Bethune-Cookman head men's basketball coach and athletics director, I might add, joining us here on Box to Row. Coach Theus, an absolute blast. Really appreciate the time. Continued success to you and the Wildcats.
Thank you. Thank you very much. We appreciate it. Call me anytime. Let me know when you need me.
Reggie Theus had a lot to say there, and you can react to any of it on social media. Up next, we're talking NFL playoffs.
If you have diabetes, listen up. If you have insurance, you can qualify for a continuous glucose monitor. With a CGM, you can continuously track your levels and trends and spend more time in range, significantly lowering your A1C. More importantly, a CGM eliminates the one thing most people with diabetes hate, painful finger sticks. Order your new continuous glucose monitor today. If you use insulin and if you've seen your diabetes care provider within the last 6 months, you may qualify for your own CGM right now. We'll do all the insurance paperwork and deliver your new CGM at little or no out-of-pocket cost to you. Medicare and most insurances will cover your CGM, so don't wait. Have your insurance handy and call the Aptiva Medical CGM Health Hotline right now.
800-946-6813. 800-946-6813. 800-946-6813. That's 800-946-6813.
BoxToRow.com is the website for all of your HBCU sports needs.
From the game of the week feature to interviews
to the latest news in the world of HBCU sports, BoxToRow.com has you covered.
Ooh. Missed a week of From the Press Box to Press Row?
BoxToRow.com has all the archive shows. Don't forget to check out the All-American teams and weekly media coaches bowls.
From the Press Box to Press Row
and BoxToRow.com, your HBCU sports leader.
It's Donald Ware from the Press Box to Press Row.
Welcome back to Box to Row. Thank you for making Box to Row a part of your day. Hopefully, wherever and however you may be listening, and wherever you may be listening, you're warm and safe wherever you may be. Continuing to pray for those out in the Los Angeles area with those wildfires. We don't talk about it as much as we once did because we tend to forget and we move on from things, unfortunately, that are still happening. But man, those fires are still a problem for those out in the LA area. And so our thoughts and prayers continue to be with those out in the Los Angeles area. So let's talk some NFL playoffs right now. We've got the conference title game, if you will, matchups, the Eagles and the Commanders, the Bills and the Chiefs. I want to start with the Chiefs and the Bills. This game is going to be played in Kansas City. And look, coming into last week, I thought that, okay, whoever wins between the Bills and the Ravens is going to beat Kansas City in the AFC Championship game. I'm not stuck on that as much. Of course, was wrong last week, thought that the Ravens would win, and the Ravens didn't get it done. Now, it's hard to kind of really compare. I'm going to tell you why. One of the reasons that my prediction isn't going to be, obviously you could look and say, okay, the Bills weren't spectacular against the Ravens. If you really think about it, I mean, Josh Allen, if I have the numbers right in front of me, 16 of 22, 127 yards, no touchdowns. More importantly, no interceptions. If you look at the rushing numbers, James Cook, 17 carries for 67 yards. Ty Johnson, 5 carries, 31 yards. Ray Davis, 4 carries, 29 yards. Josh Allen had 10 carries for 20 yards. He also rushed for 2 touchdowns. So the running was efficient enough for the Bills. They did enough in terms of running the football. But if you're trying to sell me on the fact that the Bills beat the Ravens outright, not by the score, but in terms of what you saw on the field, can't roll with you on that. That was a game that the Ravens dominated. And again, for me, it's all about the wins and the losses, right? Am I going to use the numbers to substantiate an argument or whatever the case may be in terms of an argument? And my point is, how can the Bills with those kinds of numbers, because the Chiefs defense, like just from an offensive perspective, and again, if you look on the other side, if let's look at the Bills defense, well, let's look at what the Ravens were able to do. Lamar Jackson, 18 of 25, 254, two touchdowns. He had one interception. So you're all, and then also he had the fumble, and then also Mark Andrews had the fumble. The difference is you're talking about three turnovers caused by the Bills defense. So that's something good, even though the Ravens piled up a bunch of yards. I mean, look, Derrick Henry, 16 for 84. That's a good number. Justice Hill, 6 for 50. That's a good number. Lamar Jackson, 6 for 39. That's a good number. And then Mark Andrews was 2 for 3, but those were mostly quarterback sneaks. So the Ravens dominated the Bills in terms of yardage. Now, one of the turnovers that the Bills, one was like, okay, the Bills got a, what I would call a legitimate turnover where they punched the defense punched the ball out of the hands of Mark Andrews. That was legitimate. Lamar Jackson's fumble, he dropped the ball when he threw the interception. I mean, he threw it right to the Bills defender. I'm not sure if he thought his receiver was going. I don't think, it was just a bad play all around. Right. So now you're going up against the Chiefs team that from a defensive standpoint is absolutely fabulous. Look, I want to give a lot of credit to Houston. I thought Houston played well in that football game. I like well enough to hang around in this football game. Because remember, this was a Texans team that basically cruised to the AFC South Championship. Like the AFC South, very weak this year. And so you're talking about a team that kind of cruised to that championship. But I give Houston a lot of credit because they played well in the playoffs, handled their business handily against the Chargers, and then, hung around for a majority of the game. As a matter of fact, put themselves in good position against Kansas City. And so when I think about Kansas City, this Kansas City defense is really, really good. Like Chris Jones is so dominant that it's almost, he's just a dominant guy. Like in the biggest moments is when he really comes to play. And by the way, Steve Spagnuolo, the defensive coordinator for the Kansas City Chiefs, he doesn't get enough credit for me. Like, the defenses that he dials up, and if you looked at that Houston game, the last couple of possessions, right? Like Kansas City defensively was doing its thing. He dialed it up. He dialed up the pressure on the last two possessions for the Texans because, again, the Texans were right there with an opportunity to try and maybe win that football game. And he seems to call all of the right plays. So if we're talking about now, if I look at the first Super Bowl, maybe I don't give the defense and Spagnuolo as much credit. But if I look at the last two Super Bowls and the runs to those Super Bowls, like Spagnuolo is tremendous. And we don't hear his name a lot. Like, I don't hear his name a lot in terms of head coaching jobs. Now, it could be quite, for him, if I'm him, I'm on this train. I'm doing my job. The spotlight, and maybe that's part of it, the spotlight isn't on me even because I'm not the head coach, whereas when he was the head coach, like, it just wasn't happening for him for whatever the reason. It just wasn't happening. But now he can sit back, less pressure in terms of the spotlight from a head coach's perspective, but dial up these defenses at the right time, right? So give Spagnuolo a lot of credit. Look, in this football game, I'm wrestling with this. Like, even up until coming on right now, I'm wrestling with this. The game is in Kansas City. And in terms of who I think is going to win this football game, you know, the Bills have to do more than what they did what they were able to do against the Ravens from an offensive perspective. Got to do more. The defense was solid enough. You know, I did say last week that I thought the winner of the Ravens and the Bills game would definitely beat the Chiefs, kind of waffled back and forth this week. I'm going to go with the Chiefs in this game. Or excuse me, I'm going to go with the Bills. Excuse me, I'm going with the Bills. Meant to say the Bills in this game. I think that the Bills turn it up a notch offensively. And quite frankly, they didn't need the offense necessarily. I mean, you know, they could have used more, but the Ravens were giving them the football, right? So I think the Bills turn it up a notch from a defensive perspective and get it, or from an offensive perspective. And, you know, because I'm not like, Travis Kelce was spectacular in that win over the Texans. Does he have another game at his age? Does he have in the way he's played all season? Does he have another game like that? I mean, I don't know. I like the way that the Chiefs early on used Xavier Worthy. We'll see if they use him a little bit more. I just like the Bills in this football game. Now, I'm going to be as objective as possible when talking about the Eagles and the Commanders. Look, the Eagles are really, really, I mean, you know, the Eagles defense is like really, really good. Now, the Rams still had an opportunity. The weather played a factor, but it was the weather for both teams, right? So you can't sit back and say, well, you know, the Eagles, the weather was the same. The snow was the same, okay, for both teams. The Eagles, Jalen Carter, the defensive tackle is unbelievable. Like, that defense for the Eagles is absolutely, it's really, really good. But this is the thing about it. Washington and Jaden Daniels has seen that defense and obliterated that same defense in the second half when the two teams met last. Saquon Barkley, it's no doubt he can run the football, but the Commanders shut Saquon Barkley down in the second half in that football game, okay? Jalen Hurts, he's hurt. Whether or not, you know, how healthy he is the question. And will the Eagles only be able to run the football? I don't think so. The pass defense for Washington isn't very good, although it was solid against Detroit. I'm not going to give you a pick because obviously I'm biased, but I'm just trying to throw out to you the matchups. And then Jaden Daniels is very, 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 very special. Even though he's going against a top-notch defense, he is extremely special. Like, he makes all of the difference in the world for the Commanders, who, if he were not the quarterback, would be an average offense. With him at the helm, makes it a very, very good offense. I'm going to be in Philly, looking forward to that football game. And look, you all enjoy the conference championship games. They promise to be really, really good. Look, my time is about up. I thank you for yours. Thank you to Reggie Theus, the head basketball, men's basketball coach and athletics director at Bethune-Cookman, for joining us today here on Box to Row. For more information on the program, you can visit our website, boxtorow.com. And always remember to support those that support your Box to Row is produced by DW Communications.
Waking up in the morning, gotta think.